I appreciate you so much for sitting down with Film Fad, talking to us a little bit about your project. And, you know, all this time, you know, we've been kind of chopping it up, talking about it. And I didn't ask you what the actual name of the project is. So what's the project and what's the name of it?
It's gone through a number of different iterations because the growth of it keeps expanding. And so the title keeps changing because, you know, we had things that were associated with it in certain contexts with what we're doing here in America. But now that we've started to travel all over the world, we've kind of scrapped the names we were using before. And we've actually really started hitting it hard about, you know, what are we going to call this as we travel internationally researching music therapy. So it doesn't have an official name yet, but it is a feature length documentary style media project based on the science and connection of music as seen through music therapy.
Awesome. So how did you get started on this project?
Man, me and some friends jumped in a van without actually having a camera. Like my girlfriend at the time was awesome. Deepa, if you're listening, thank you. She hooked us up with a camera and came with us to help with filming and everything. So we just started out driving around the country. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know what we were doing. We just got on Twitter and everything kind of started happening from there. So really this all just began by trying to really find out about the true healing power of music, what that was all about, all the information and the people behind it. And honestly, it was finding the real stories. And I think that's where our project has really grown and elevated, is the really personal, you know, interesting and powerful stories of people's lives day to day. And not only just, you know, the music therapy side of it, but what music therapy has allowed them to do, the struggles that they have to deal with, the profound struggles, and the way that the music itself plays a role in their lives. And so many different people from all over the world, from all over the United States. So it just started off as this tiny little idea, and we got in a van, and now we're flying all over the world to do what we love.
Where has the story taking you so far? How many different places have you been to, countries, etc.?
Cool. Yeah, we've been to 47 U.S. states. We've been to Ecuador and Peru, and we'll be in Rwanda and Uganda in 2 weeks. We just started the world tour last month, and that was in Ecuador and Peru. And we spent 12 hours in Mexico City, but it was just at the airport, so that doesn't count. But we've also sent instruments to Panama and Haiti as a part of our instrument donation program. So our instruments that we've collected for different groups to help start music therapy and support music therapy programs, those have gone to Haiti and Panama. We look forward to bringing some to Uganda as well, so we can add Uganda to that list. So 47 U.S. states, 5 countries, including the U.S., and then we'll be looking to do about 35 more before the project is finished.
So it sounds like you've gone to some places that have dealt with hardship. Do you notice that the places that you go to that have dealt with this hardship, the music being richer, or what are the differences in the music that you see in places that have had hardship?
Something where I think music itself reflects the culture of the people. So people are different. And so the music itself in its whole is different. But in terms of the mechanisms, playing an instrument, singing, now the mode of singing, the style of singing, those are all different. And I think that's what's really unique about whether it's a really nice place that we're filming in or a place like you said that might be a bit destitute. The music can apply to all of it, and you know, the music that works best with that population. So, you know, if we're working with a homeless population in Atlanta, for instance, and we're working with a homeless population in Ecuador, the music would be totally different, even though they're the same populations. Now, it could be the same, but the chances of those people hearing the same types of music are probably very rare. So that music may be different based on the experiences that you've had in your own life. And I think that regardless of how bad a situation that we've been in, we've been able to see music just be just as effective in those situations as it is in a first-rate hospital here in the United States.
Cool. So could you give us maybe a story about the power of music that you've seen firsthand through this project?
Yes, I can. There's a young man, his name is Jacob Moore. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia. I moved down to Atlanta, Georgia, actually to film him and his family and more in depth. They've become a really big part of the project, and they're just it's Jacob's story is one thing, but the real powerful stuff is the connection to that and just the rest of the family and who they are. And I'm excited for everybody to get to know who the Moores are, because they're incredible people that have dealt with a lot. So Jacob was born with autism, Down syndrome, and then he developed leukemia. I think he was around 9 years old, and so he was hit kind of with two big punches to start his life with, and then he was hit with this third, and he beat leukemia through chemo, and but since he was 3 months old, they've been using music therapy, and the reason why is because music helps with a lot of different processes in the brain that afflict people with autism, Down syndrome, and even cancer. Now, specifically with neurologic music therapy, or the application of this music therapy that is really used to create new neural pathways. Jacob has worked on his speech. He's had to learn how to, I mean, it was difficult for him to learn to walk the first time, but he had to relearn how to walk. He's gone through massive weight loss and weight gain. He's dealt with, all of the other things that people don't necessarily think about when they think about these three big conditions. And there's bone marrow damage and joint damage, and just a lot of different issues that kind of they compound one on top of the other till it's like, well, how's this kid still going? Well, he's used music to help enhance his communication with his parents, with the world around him, and it's enabled him to be able to enjoy more speech therapy, more occupational therapy, more physical therapy. So he's lifting himself up now. He's doing pull-ups. He's in a and he can communicate. He can let people know what he likes and he doesn't like. And that's where it might seem very simple, like, okay, music helps him, with his speech pattern or how he goes about communicating. But at the same time, like when he's in the orthodontist chair getting his braces taken off, his dad is using music to calm him down because there's a lot of people around him. We've got cameras. And with music, he is able to really center himself. And for a family that's dealing with a lot of unknowns, one minute to the next, music has become a great way to be able to connect with their son. And what that spawned is an incredible relationship with his brother. They both share this love of hip hop music, these two kids from Atlanta. And so Jared, Jacob's brother, introduces music to him, and Jacob just like lets him know if he likes it or not. And he's dancing, and he really will dance with it, and smile, and just have his own connection. So Jacob's really able to communicate with the world around him and be connected to more of it, because of the just a lot of the different processes that they use with music therapy.
So it sounds like you're capturing some amazing stories. How are you shooting these, and what's your process for capturing all of this footage?
We are shooting on a number of different Canon, and I mean, I should say we weren't shooting on anything before because we didn't even start with a camera. We were very as amateur filmmakers as you could possibly imagine, and we just had a lot of heart and determination and connections to be able to use some really high quality DSLRs. And DSLRs have been Canon variety. We've used the Mark series, the 70D, and now we're getting into some Sony cameras. And as our project is elevated, so too has our equipment. Our process is very raw. In regards to, we've had a variety of scripts, as I'm sure many of you filmmakers can understand. That first script, it's good to look at 4 years later and just go, look, I've grown, everybody. I've gotten better at this. So our process is to really be prepared for any opportunity to capture something unique. Don't force that opportunity, and just which does involve a lot of hours of filming, but it's just trying to put ourselves in the perspective to give the audience the best way of being in that really special moment with us. So we're really trying to make this personal because the stories are personal. I mean, there's a lot of science involved to it. We want make sure all of the information is backed up, obviously with evidence-based research and all of that. But at the same time, this movie is about relationships. It's about it's about how people are connecting that we've never met, and then how we've connected with them, and the story that is created throughout the world. So even GoPros and phantom drones, we've incorporated a lot of different styles just to give people some fresh perspective to utilize the landscapes and the environments that are around us. I think that with all of our travel, we are given the unique opportunity to see a lot, and we want to make sure that that's a part of the story. So we're utilizing whatever's at our disposal to capture the full story, both behind the camera and in front of the camera.
Very cool. So speaking of connections, can you tell us a little bit about who you have run into on this journey and in creating the project?
One of the well-known artists in America is Ben Folds of Ben Folds 5. And Glenn, I think, and I don't know if you listened to Ben Folds 5, but he was popular when we were old men in high school. But I've run into him. I met and have been talking to, and it's one of the really big reasons we're going to Scotland, is Julie Fallis, who did the soundtrack for Pixar's The Brave. She normally sings in her native language of Gaelic. And she's a big proponent and of keeping the language alive and the culture alive. She's a part of some of the historical societies and different things in Scotland. So she has a deep knowledge of not only the music of Scotland, but the culture as well. And she's just Julie Fowles, if anybody, it's so beautiful. Her voice is absolutely beautiful, and it's an incredible language. So those two, from an entertainment standpoint, have been great to meet. Dr. Connie Tomeno, who was the assistant of who worked with Dr. Oliver Sacks, he just passed away. He's a really an incredible, I want to say he's a neuroscientist and a author. He was a part of a documentary called Alive Inside that highlighted music education. It was I believe they did won an award at Sundance. I'm in connection with their producers. They're amazing people, great people doing a great thing. So we've been able to really partner with the heavy hitters. Dr. Michael Tout in Colorado, he was a part of the lead research team, or he was the lead researcher for the team that discovered the evidence behind the science with music therapy. Not a household name for everybody, but somebody that's powerful in the music healing community. And so these people have led us to others, and as the world tour grows, we have the opportunity to meet other well-known people in other countries that hopefully will share their story and be able to lend their insight into how music's affected them and their lives.
Talking about all these people that you met and all these stories that you've heard, how many hours do you guys currently have, or is that like a trade secret?
No, I mean, it's not much of a secret. I probably didn't know very much when I started this. And so, I probably let a lot of secrets out. But so we're right around 4,000 right now. And, it's something that we've invested a lot of time in, a lot of different people and a lot of different networks. So we're looking at 4,000 hours, and still we have, more than 35 countries left to film in. We'll do a, I'll be filming tomorrow when we go up to New York City to the UN. So, it's going to only grow. So we'll probably be around 5,000. That's our goal. That was our goal, is to be over that anyway. So that'll be great if we can get there.
Tell us about the UN trip.
Yeah, so just a lot of our process is being open to anything, and we put ourselves in situations where just really organic experiences happen that lend incredible visuals, incredible access to our film. So I was just hanging out at Clarendon Day yesterday. My friends invited me up for a VIP day in the tent, and everybody was awesome. Jason, that was running, I think he was the guy in charge of the bar that they had set up, great dude, and took care of everybody. The food was delicious. So anyway, they were packing up and everything was shutting down, and kind of nobody was there. And this guy started talking to my friend, and he's from Iran. And I had happened to mention that we would be going to Iran to film. And he told me about, just this group of people that he was going to go to the UN with. And he thought that they might be interesting people to interview and share, you know, kind of what their view of things are. So they invited me to come up on their bus and film and join them and for a day in New York City. And he even invited me over to his house tonight. He's like, hey, we have to leave really early. He's like, I'll give you a room. Just come on over. My family won't mind, and his wife's cool, and so yeah. So it'll be a really interesting adventure. And I think for me, history is a big part of our film as well. And history is just kind of a big part of what Terror Rising Films does anyway. So it'll be a really great opportunity to talk with people from a different country that you know kind of is talked about in the news media one way, but you know being able to talk to the citizens and just the different people that have been from there will be fascinating. To be able to really get into that culture and learn more about their music and their art and just their course in history.
So you've been going around meeting all these people, talking to all these different people. Tell us about the most surprising thing that you have learned or seen on this journey or this tour.
You know, that's a great question. It's hard to put into one idea because of how many places and how many people we've met. But I can tell you that I didn't know anything in the beginning. And it's changed, you know, what I see in the world in terms of potential, what really is out there, what we fear versus what we know. The idea that a kid can be born with cerebral palsy and he can be told that he's going to be a vegetable his whole life. His parents can hear that from a doctor the first day that they have this child. And that kid can get up out of his wheelchair. That kid can, you know, feed himself, put his own clothes on and live a better life. And I believe that when we see in the world such breakdowns in communication, whether it's through the media, governments, our own perceptions, our own limitations. I think that there's a lot to be said about what an autistic child may gain from music therapy in terms of how they're able to communicate more effectively. You know, what are we missing as a global society in terms of our issues with communication? And why are these issues still present in our world? And so I think that it's really challenged me to look at that situation deeper, and it's really allowed just me to open up to all of these different opportunities and resources, and I'm receiving them. It's like I can't. There's no formula that I could ever possibly imagine to think of to give us the access and the adventures and the locations. I mean, the multiple U.S. tours, the multiple regional tours, like just the ability to keep doing this for 4 years full time. I mean, it's crazy. So. I think I've just learned of the real generosity, the real power of music, and the real ability to elevate ourselves to start to have a deeper conversation about how we can become more peaceful and more unified.
Well, it sounds like this is an amazing journey, amazing tour, and you guys have tons of footage. When can we expect to see this film?
Oh, that's such a great question. We are in the process now of figuring out the best format for it and how we are going to pitch this. So we're in the process of, we know that we're finishing in the next year, but it's going to be which forum is going to be best for it. Is it a documentary film? Is it a mini series? Is it a television series? So right now we're meeting with a bunch of different professionals that have come on board. C2C Media Group here in the Northern Virginia area has been huge for helping us, gain access to being able to get into places so that we can pitch this. So I'm hoping within the next year to year and a half, our project will be done. We'll be promoting it, and we will be sharing it with hopefully the whole world on whatever format is chosen that will be able to maximize the biggest impact.
Well, we're just wrapping up here, but tell us a little bit about the next step for the movement, because it seems like more of a continuous journey as opposed to a finite one.
For sure. I mean, we're going to, like I said, we're going to Africa. We're going to do this whole world tour. Then, you know, we get back, we do post, we figure out where the heck this thing's gonna go. And then as a whole for the company, for terrorizing films, I think it's going to be an opportunity to start to focus more centrally on specific locations around the globe. So from this tour, what we're hoping to do is to obviously build on maybe some of the stories that we meet in some of these other countries that don't become, you know, full parts of this documentary or this series, but actually try to focus specifically on, you know, a country or a group of countries or a situation. Because like I said, history is important, and I really think that there's fun ways of going about it. I think there's interesting ways of going about it, and I think that if we're going to do something involving other cultures and other history, I think that we need to be authentic and be there with those people in their environment. So really want to do something in India. We'll be there for 15 days with this project, but I really want to spend some extra time over there and work on a couple different projects that involving some of the prehistory and some of the ancient languages that have not even been deciphered yet, called the Indus script. So really just trying to get into some different parts of history that maybe some people don't know about and have some fun with it. And of course, there will be music, art, and dance, and all the other good things that come along with terrorizing films.
Awesome. So Mike from Terrorizing Films, thank you so much for stopping by or sitting down and I'm guessing you're sitting down. And
I am, Indian style.
And talking to Film Fad about your upcoming project, which is yet to be named. Perhaps we can give it a name sometime in the near future.
We're hoping.
How about the Rhythm of Hope? No.
Along those lines, though, that's good. I like that. I'm gonna write that down. And Rhythm of Hope. I like it.
Give a special thanks to FilmFad in the credits if you don't mind. But is there anything else that you would like to add or say before we sign off?
Yeah, I just love people to know that we do have an instrument donation program. We collect instruments and we get them to programs in need, music therapy programs and music education. We've done 10 states here in the U.S. We've done Haiti, Panama, Ecuador, and we'll do Uganda here coming up. So if anybody would like to do that, hit me up at michael@terra-rising.com. That's terra-rising.com. That's also our website, and anywhere on social media at Terra, Terra Rising Film, no S, just Terra Rising Film. We're big on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We love to connect with people. We love to keep this conversation going. And if you're out there in a country or a state and you want to become a part of this, just let us know and we'll be there. So it's just that easy. That's how we've built this whole thing organically. And if somebody's out there that wants to be a part of the film, the instrument donation program, or just helping add to the global conversation, please hit us up at Terra Rising Film.
Mike, thank you so much for sitting with us. Much appreciated, and good luck and Godspeed on your journey and your tour.
My pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. Peace, everybody.